It's time for the fifth quarter with analysis, game stars, all-access locker room interviews, and more. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Here's Cody, looking near side, pass is caught. Shaq Evans comes back to the football at the 20. Cody barks out the signal, takes the snap, dives to the goal line. Is he in? I don't see a signal. Touchdown!
There's an offside flag down, though.
Saskatchewan! Penalty on Winnipeg, and the Riders have the lead! Takes the shotgun snap, backpedals, steps up. Oh, he loses the ball! Riders have it! Recovered by Miles Brown! Here's the snap, the hole, right foot through the ball, low driving kick. That one is good. He buries it from 47. Motion to the left. Cody lobs it down the middle. It's caught by Shaq on the post. And he takes it to the 30. Folks, Shaq is back.
This is 14-0.
Kolaros going up top. Lost the corner left. Dembski. What a catch.
Oh,
touchdown. That was a beautiful catch by Dembski.
Play. Cody steps up under pressure. Dodges the rush. He's going to look downfield. Man open. Pickett got it.
Right side 50. Cutting to the middle. 45. Pickett 40. And he's down at the 36.
Kolaros backpedaling under pressure, rolling out to his right, looking downfield, throws to the end zone,
that is caught,
wow.
And was he inbounds? He was, and I jinxed it, Dalton Schoen on the far right side, what a great catch,
here's Cody backpedaling, rolling to his right, he's going to throw near his sideline, and Pickton made the catch,
what a great job as he climbs the ladder, the kick is up, it's on the way, and this game is tied at halftime,
wow.
Here's Cody, waving his hands, takes the shotgun snap, back pedals. Here's the rush by Jeffcoat, spins away from that rush, looking downfield. Cody is going to throw to his bench, wide open, and that's his first catch since returning from Hotlanta. It's Braden Lenius. Turns, fakes a handoff to Hicks, and he's stepping up, hit as he throws down the middle. Caught by Shaq, and Shaq Evans takes him out of the shadows of their goalpost. Kolaros takes a shotgun snap. Kolaros has all day to throw. Deep down the field for Dembski. Great play. He had it in his hands, but beating him to the spot was Roland Milligan. The hold. The kick is on the way from the diminutive kicker, and he nailed it.
Wow.
What a kick by Leggio. Cody steps up. Hit as he throws. Deflected. Picked off. It got picked off. It got intercepted by the free safety, Hallett.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Portion of the post-game show from Harvard Studio 620 brought to you by Sask Lottery, the Capital Auto Mall, and Borgo Industries. That post-game rewind was brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. Riders lose 20-18 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and I'll tell you what, man, it feels like somebody ran over my dog. Like that, like I'm walking in the park, it's a great afternoon, it's sunny, and then splat, somebody ran over my, like, we gave it away. We just gave them the game.
Yeah, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders could have easily won this football game. You know, undisciplined penalties. In the years that I played in the Canadian Football League, I was saying that I've never seen a non-dressed player take a penalty against, but more importantly, in that stage of the game. Maybe it's because for the majority of my career, the non-dressed guys weren't on the sidelines, and if they were, they were on the edges of the field. But it's crazy to me how the one drive all second half got nullified by a stupid penalty. And that's the thing. You can look at this game and see some of the momentum causing plays get subtracted because of penalties.
There's three things that hurt this team at the end.
Well, to be honest with you, Ballsy, and sorry, I don't want to get... We were out coached there in that fourth quarter. The play calling was way too inconsistent today. They started out on fire. Then they got away from what was working in the second quarter. Then they tried to get back to it, and once that 3 minute, that final drive by the Rough Riders, right? Even that final drive, right? Once they got back into it and had a chance to continue to do it, they didn't. They got away from it. I'm not sure why we were passing in certain situations.
Well, here's what I don't understand. We have the momentum. It's 17-17, and we decide to run a guy all over the formation who just got back into Regina. I know he knows the playbook. I know he's right in Lennius. Yeah. Instead of running the football, then you get a short punt and a rare short punt, by the way, and then a no yards penalty. All of a sudden, the 10-1 Bombers are on a short porch, yeah, and then they stop you again in time. Yeah. So the momentum is 17-17. Then Duke Williams, who's the second highest paid receiver in the league, who's already been suspended one game for throwing a helmet and said he'll never do that again, does what he does on the sidelines, the plainclothes guy, like you said. Yeah. Okay, so you've overcome all of that because this team overcomes adversity. And further to your point, you're there. Yeah. They do. They get down into the score zone. They can run the ball and win the game, kick a field goal and leave it in your defense's hands, the best unit on your team, and you throw it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that the defense, if there's a game-winning situation for the Saskatchewan Roughriders this year, you want the defense to be the final unit on the field, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that may sound crazy to some people, but I'm telling you right now that this team is built defensively. It needs to continue to flow through the defense. You had a great game plan coming in here in that first quarter. You jumped out to a lead. But I think that the Saskatchewan Roughriders, for some reason or another, they got away from it. It was like they were uncomfortable with a 14-point lead early on, and they got away from doing some of the things. I'll tell you what, man, if I was the coach of this football team, we'd look like 1978 Oklahoma. I'm serious. You'd be calling me Barry Switzer because I'd be running that football. And I'd be in a wing tee or something stupid looking, but I would know this strength. It's, you got to run the football with this team, and you got to leave it in the defense's hands. Today, for some reason, it seemed like they felt uncomfortable with the success they had early on. I'm not sure what happened.
This isn't just a commentary on Jason Moss, per se, okay? What I can't figure out about a lot of offensive coordinators, when it's boring like you just described, quote-unquote boring. I don't think it's boring.
I don't care. I'm trying to win.
No, but again, you're running the ball. You're averaging 5-6 yards a carry. You go down on the first drive of the game and set the tone, okay? Your defense stops, and now you're up 8-0. Now you're up 11-0. Now you're up 14-0. Do you get bored? Is not enough attention on you? Like, why do a lot of offensive coordinators do that?
Well, obviously, there's the notion of, okay, well, now we have to anticipate the team taking the run away, right?
Yeah.
Your opponent, because they get paid too. But even then, I mean, I said this last week against BC. Until you prove that you can stop me doing something, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to keep doing it. You've got to prove that you can. And that's the thing, consistency, right? Like, you look at all the winning programs, you look at all the winning teams, they don't sit there, get guys on their heels, and then pull back. It felt like he pulled back there in that third quarter was played out exactly how I thought this whole game was going to play out. Back and forth defensively, right? I even said up there, it feels like the first turnover is going to lose the football game. And what happened?
Yeah.
We had the turnover and we lost the game. That's the way it was going to go. But for some reason, the play calling wasn't consistent. It didn't feel comfortable, even though they started out on fire, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, good point. We'll be back with more of our fifth quarter post-game show. This segment brought to you by Regina Plumbing and Heating, SaskTel and Young's Equipment. Your Riders lose to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the 57th Labor Day Classic by a count of 20-18. This is the Cooperators Rough Rider.
From locker room interviews to the coach's comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to Harvard Studio 620. The sun's starting to set here in Regina, and it's set on the Rough Riders late in the ball game with 1:55 to go as a pass from Cody Fajardo. I was going to bring this up to you. I know this post-game show's your show.
I apologize.
I'm joking.
I was about to jump to the point you're making right now.
Okay, so Cody gets hit as he throws. It went off of Hickson's hands. I don't expect Hickson to make a great play as a running back, okay? I question whether you should be running the football, but one thing you can question is Cody Fajardo. Yeah. He played a great game.
I thought Cody played lights out today.
He did.
He stood in the pocket when he knew he was going to take some hits to make some throws. I think that if you look at the last two games, those are probably his best of the year. Obviously, I think that the touchdown Atlantic game, he was playing lights out too until he threw that one pick. But yeah, I think that the last two, they've been the best of the game.
Yeah, for sure. See, Andrew Green comes up here. He left us his radon card, radon
hey.
Card. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for this card.
Thanks for the autographed card. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's good. He's not full of himself.
Hey, well, I'll tell you what.
I love Andrew Green.
Cody's definitely not the guy that deserves any of the negative feelings today. I thought he played well.
Hey, we got a great.
I know you see the card.
Yeah, and we got a great former offensive lineman here. Let's talk about this for a second. We've been hard on the offensive line this year. I thought they played a pretty good game against a pretty good Winnipeg front.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, nobody in the league has stopped that front all year, right? So you can't blame them. I mean, yes, our tackles got beat a couple times. But for the most part, the most impressive thing that I think the Riders did today on that offensive front is they picked up pressure well.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that they did. They really – and Richie – Drew Green's played against Richie Hall and with Richie Hall. Nobody throws blitzes better than Richie Hall. He times them perfectly. He gets guys in the spot at the right time. And I thought the Riders did a heck of a job today. All guys, fullbacks, running back, tight ends, picking up that blitz because it really wasn't a non-factor like I know Richie Hall wanted it to be.
I don't think we appreciate – you do. I know you do, and I've talked about it, but I don't appreciate it as much as you. Those two fullbacks, Awachi and Tuck, they just do a great job.
Well, the fullbacks have been probably the best
LaBelle,
part
too. He didn't play today, but
well, that's the thing. I mean, every time LaBelle's been asked to answer the bell, he has. They've played exceptionally well. I think that they're probably the unsung heroes here of this offense. And today, everything that you looked at, whatever it was that the Rough Riders did do well, they had 33 personnel on there, so that's two fullbacks and a running back and three receivers, right? They had 33 personnel out there, and they were physical. Every time they weren't, like, this is a team. This is not a six-receiver, five-receiver set team. Like, you're not that. Just get out of that. Leave that alone. Yeah. Be what you are, because what you are could be really good. And it's not over yet. This is a team that's probably going to finish 9-9 this year, okay? They're probably going to make the playoffs by the skin of their teeth if that happens. But this is a team that needs to just get comfortable in their own skin. And right now, that skin, it's fine if you're a team that plays physical football, that controls the clock, and doesn't ask the quarterback to make insane plays. Period.
So you're the analyst. I'm going to ask you, how would you deal with Duke Williams and what he did on the sidelines? Given what
today's game would be the last game that any injured player on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders was on the sidelines. They would be in that little roped off section that all the bougie folks get to go into during the warm-ups. They would be there or they would be in the stands. There was not one player. And again, this didn't happen when I played. Maybe I'm just that old, right? But when I played, there wasn't a bunch of guys milling about unless you were like a big deal, right? If you were a big deal, you could be on sideline. But they got their practice roster guys, arguing over water bottles out there. I'm telling you right now, I've never seen that. For Duke to get that penalty, and that was the other thing. That was literally the one drive all half that was working well, and it killed them.
Cost us the game.
Killed them.
That cost us the game.
Killed them.
That cost us the game right there. It did. Take all the blitzes and everything you want to talk about. That cost us the football game. Moss had it cooking. We can cut him down, but we can be critical is the way to put it. But he had it cooking. They were throwing. They were moving.
Yeah, they were mixing that.
They were mixing it up. Yes.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was literally the one time all half that it was going well. And a guy that's not even dressed tricks it off?
Come on. Tell you what, man. I like Duke Williams.
I'm not even dressed.
I like Duke Williams. I like him.
You're not even dressed. You're wearing plain clothes.
He makes
S-T-F-U. Period.
Yeah.
Just don't even be around there.
No. But I'm telling you, they've got a plethora of receivers now. They're getting healthy in that position. It's going to be a while before he gets to play again, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, he's on the books for a lot of money, so I don't think that they outright cut him, but that was ridiculous.
I'm not saying cut him.
Here's the thing, though, and that's on the Riders, too, because I've said that, especially beginning of the season, if you let it fester and it doesn't go addressed, what happens? It ends up hurting you, and today it hurt you.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Coach Craig Dickinson, his coach's comments for KFC. That's coming up on the postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage with Michael Ball on The Source 620 CKRM.
Coming to you from the Harvard 620 studio here in Mosaic Stadium following the Riders' heartbreaking 20-18 loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, who won the last two Labor Day Classics. This one a lot closer than last year when they lost 23-8. In some respects, you feel like the Riders gave this game away. Time now for the coach's comment, brought to you by KFC. Take the game to the next level with KFC. Try their famous chicken sandwich, hot and crispy and classic or spicy. KFC is finger licking good. Let's go downstairs to Coach Craig Dickinson. And Coach, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like we let that one get away.
Yeah, there's a sense of that for sure. First of all, Ballsy, congrats to your son for representing and playing over the weekend. I heard he did a great job, so yeah. Congrats on that.
Thanks, man. I look at this game, and I really feel, I mean, you showed it. You can go punch for punch with the two-time champs, but you can't if you continue to shoot yourselves in the foot like that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's the difference between a championship team and a team trying to get there, and we're that team trying to get there. Lots of good things that happened in that game, but some mistakes at the worst possible time, and that's why we ended up on the other end of the score. But I was proud of the effort. The guys played super hard. Did we make mistakes? Yes. Are they correctable? I believe they are, but we've got to make a decision in that room, that we've got to clean it up, and we've got to clean it up fast. But overall, I'm proud of the guys, but I am disappointed. I felt like we could have won that game. Probably should have.
Yeah, no, I think you should have won that football game, but give the Bombers credit. That's why they're now 11-1 and clinch a playoff spot. I got to go. Listen, you can agree or you could disagree. I think the one that really killed you, kind of the knockout punch for you, was you're rolling down the field. You get a completed pass at your bench to Kyron Moore, and an undressed player, Duke Williams, takes a penalty. Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame. I told the team that makes us all look bad. Makes us look like we don't have a disciplined team. Makes us look like we don't have high character. And I think Duke feels very bad about that, as he should. But I know this, we're not going to be able to let players on the sideline after that. I mean, he wrecked it for everybody, to be quite honest. But yeah, that's a tough one. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I know. I saw you were pretty mad on the sidelines. It's not like you weren't mad. I don't expect you to throw your player under the bus, but I just want to.
Here's the thing. It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
There's no justification for that. He can say whatever he wants, but he knows he messed up, and he messed up bad. So I think he feels terrible about it. I hope he apologizes to his team, as he should, and I hope the others learn from that, because that'll cost you seasons, not just games, seasons. When you do stuff like that.
Coach, it was like you guys got shot out of a cannon there in the first quarter. And then as the second quarter started to play out, it seemed like you got away from running the football a little bit. I know you haven't looked at the film as yet, but just sort of, is that what the case was? Because we can only call it from the broadcast.
Possibly. And Winnipeg's well coached. They're going to make adjustments. So they started doing some things a little differently to take away some of the run game. But, staying ahead on first down helps too. So I felt like some penalties put us back, and now we had long yardage, and when you have long yardage, it's hard to run the football. So we'll look at the film. I feel like the offense was really in a groove. That first quarter came out fast, and if we could have repeated that or done some of the same things we did that first quarter, we might have won the game. But credit Winnipeg for making adjustments, and we'll look at the film and see if we can learn from it and do something a little bit different next time.
I gotta be honest, Coach, a little disappointed at the end of the game. Now, hindsight's 20/20, and I'm not a coach. Like you said, you got to look at the film. But you got the ball with about 2 minutes to go. You're in Winnipeg's territory, well within Brett Lauther field goal range. If you could maybe do it over again, or maybe you'll see something on the film, smash the ball up in there, kick a field goal, have the lead, and give it to your defense, which has been lights out.
Yeah, I don't want to get too conservative. There's just too much time at that point. I told Jason, run his offense. So when I say run your offense, that means he's going to run the ball. And if he feels like he's got to throw, he may throw it. So yeah. No, I'm not going to clip the wings of the guys. I mean, I've seen a lot of games, balls he lost when you get conservative near the end, when there's time on the clock. You kick the field goal, they get the ball at the 40-yard line or whatever, right? They need 15, 20 yards with a big wind. I was going for a touchdown at that point.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we could talk about some positive things. One guy I want to bring up is Cody Fajardo. Much maligned. He had a great game last week, despite having 7 sacks against him. And he was, I'll tell you what, he was toe for toe with Zach Collaros.
Yeah, that was a real gutsy performance. He's a warrior. He loves football, loves this team. And, you know, the guy, I thought he put his team on his back there early in the game. And hopefully he's healthy. I think he came out of the game okay, but I thought he played well. You know, the interception is just, you know, one of those things, a tipped ball. I'm sure he wishes he'd thrown it a little bit lower, but hopefully we learn from that and grow from it.
Coach, I've been screaming the praises of 33 personnel here since last week against BC. Talk about your fullbacks, man.
Yeah, we got some good ones, and they're grinders, tough, hard nosed, smart players, and it seems like every time we put them out there, they do well. So we're proud of them. We feel like we got some of the best fullbacks in the league.
One more, coach, for me. You know, another maligned area has been the offensive line. Continuity's been a problem, I guess, at times. But I thought, given the opponent, they did a pretty good job today.
Yeah, I did, and I thought the offensive staff, Coach Moss and Coach Sorrells, designed a nice plan to try to help the tackles. If you notice the DNs, we were able to slow them down a little bit, and I think that was a good plan going in, and hopefully we'll be able to do something similar. But they'll change just a little bit, give us a little different look, so we have to be ready for a little different look as well.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time, man. I always appreciate it.
Good to talk with you guys.
That's Coach Craig Dickinson downstairs. Coach's comment for KFC. When we come back, hopefully we'll be joined by our Game Stars, which is brought to you by Johnson's Grain. For all your grain marketing and crop input needs, visit johnsonsgrain.com. This portion of the post-game show brought to you by our friends at Seedmaster, the wireless Ager's Hastel authorized dealer in First Nations University. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show from Harvard Studios, 620.
Is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter post-game show brought to you by these fine sponsors, Redhead Equipment, Western Ag, Professional Agronomy, Bronc Beer, Athol Murray College of Notre Dame. Time now to go downstairs for our game star on defense, Roland Milligan. Roland, welcome to the show. Been thoroughly impressed with your effort all season long. I want to go to the fourth quarter where you made a couple of great plays. One, a tackle, but the other one was just a great defensive play where you beat Nick Dembski to the spot and batted the ball away. Just tell us about that play.
I saw both of the receivers coming across the field. I kind of knew he wanted to go to Dembski, so I kind of baited him a little bit to make him throw it. And then at that point, I was just trying to go make a play on the ball.
What do you like better, making a play like that, or you made an unbelievable tackle about a couple series after that, where if you don't make the tackle, the guy's still running, probably. Do you like a solid tackle like that, or a bat down more?
More a bat down. I'm a DB, so I'm more of a ball guy.
Yeah, but you're a DB that could tackle. Talk about going toe-to-toe with the proverbial best team in the league, coming up short, but what's the feeling like?
It sucks to lose for sure, but they're a good team. You know, we put ourselves in bad positions with a lot of penalties and stuff, but, you know, I think we played well enough to win the game. We just got to make a couple more plays than they do.
Yeah, there's been some, quite honestly, some ridiculous stuff going on with this team at times in terms of penalties. Sometimes it's out of the coach's hands. Sometimes you got to police yourself. Is that talked about in the locker room? What's said after a game like that? You know, with that altercation on the sidelines with a plainclothes player, just your thoughts on stuff like that.
We all got to be accountable for ourselves and for each other. You know, we can't have penalties like that, especially going against a team that's as good as they are. You know, they really hurt us in the end.
All right, so your thoughts on getting a chance to go to Winnipeg and get another crack at these guys. It's not like you're blown out. Definitely in the ball game. Could have gone, you know, two. They say football games are decided by 3 or 4 plays, and that was the case today.
We definitely got to make some more plays. You know, like I said, I think we played well enough to win, but we didn't. You know, so just got to go back, prepare the way we prepared this past week, and get ready for another game against them.
Talk about playing against Zach Collaros. Luke talked about this, our great color commentator on the pregame show, about how this guy knows where the ball's got to get to, but not, you know, not all the time does the quarterback throw from the spot he wants to throw from. He knows where to get to a certain location on the field to get it to his receiver, and we saw that on the touchdown pass to Dalton Schoen in the end zone, in the, you know, in the north end zone there, where they just squeezed it in there. Just talk about going against Zach Collaros and that receiving core.
He's a real good quarterback. You know, he can throw in the pocket, he can get out of the pocket, and still be pretty accurate. And, you know, like you said, it showed today with that touchdown. We just got to keep him in the pocket, you know, keep covering when he does get outside of the pocket and just make a play on the ball. You know, they got a good receiving core. You know, he trusts his guys. He already knows, you know, once he starts to scramble, he kind of knows what they're going to do, and they know what to expect when he's outside of the pocket. So we just got to be on our guys more, you know, just keep playing, keep fighting.
I'll tell you what, in an offensive league, this defense has only given up 23 points in the last four games in the second half, including just 3 points in this second half. Like, all in all, you lost. It sucks, but you got to be happy with the defensive performance.
It could have been better. You know, we gave up something in the first half. You know, it's four quarters, not two, so, you know, we got to play a full game.
Thanks for your time, Roland Milligan, our defensive star.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, we'll hopefully be joined by our offensive game star. Luke, just your thoughts once again on a guy who is very accountable in the secondary. I like that kid.
Well, I mean, that's why when the game's on the line, you want your defense out on the field, right? So you want to be defending where the opponent needs the score. And today, I really felt like they locked down. I was impressed. They played well all throughout the game. I mean, this team, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, they're going to make their plays. That's a team that's used to, what do they even say? They're 11-1?
Mm-hmm.
They're used to close games. It was crazy. You jump out to this 14-point lead, and you look at the Blue Bombers, and nobody's panicking, right? It's just, hey, we've been here before. If you think about it, when you've won two championships in a row, you've seen every single situation you possibly can in football. And the nice part about that team is that all the guys that have seen those situations are still on the team.
Yeah.
They still have that core, and that's why they can be so calm when they're in a beehive and down 14 quick. I mean, we looked up, and it was 17-17, and then it was 17-17 almost for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Kudos to them. They played it really well. That's championship pedigree. But again, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, they gave that game to them.
So
that was a winnable game. We should have the W, but hey.
Coach said he didn't want to clip the wings. Would you have ran the ball a couple of times and kicked the field goal there?
Clip the wings? Man, there's no, this team isn't flying anywhere. I don't want to clip the wings. No, listen. I'm telling, there's two things this team needs to do, and it's coaching. All right, it's on coaching. A, this team needs to stop being idiots, right? Because the undisciplined penalties are killing them. And B, this team needs to start calling better plays. And I'm not talking about the defense, all right? Like, they need some consistency, and that's coaching. Man, right now, this team can't it's already close enough in three phases, right? The defensive phase is the only phase that the Riders have the advantage in and game out, I would say, right? When you're like that, you can't lose the coaching battle.
Even the kicker is money, hey? Leggio nails a 55-yard
kick.
Not to say our kicker's not money.
Leggio get the leg from. I would have bet money on that falling short.
Well, you said 2 seconds before that he's not making this. They're not kicking this.
No way.
And he drills it. It's a Bombers clinching a playoff spot at 11-1. Still waiting on Shaq Evans, our offensive game star. A reminder, write down the game stars to be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Daniela Ponticelli for your chance to win a special Blend by Weiser's gift pack. This is the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coach's comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to Mosaic Stadium, where the Rough Riders lose 20-18 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're 11-1 and clinch a playoff spot. 7-0 on the road. That's unreal. And the Rough Riders drop to 6-6. And you know what else is unbelievable? They've dropped four straight at home.
Yeah, well,
I mean, this used to be their place to win, but not anymore.
Hey,
not lately.
Listen, anyway. You're not set up to win, right? It's been the same problems all year.
Yep.
And you saw it again today. And the reason why I'm still stressing it is because, like, I said a long time ago, if you don't get it in check early, it'll come back to bite you when it matters the most.
Yeah.
And today, the discipline bit them right when it mattered the most.
Well, one of the positives in today's game was our friend Shaq.
Oh, Evan, Batman's back, man.
Shaq,
yeah, it was good to see him out.
Evans looking good, man. Looking like a number one receiver out there. He's our offensive game star. Let's go downstairs and speak with Shaq. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. Just, you know, just frustrated with the L, but I'm just happy to be back out there and come out the game healthy.
Yeah, you played solid, man. You were so – we said you got to get out of the weight room. You pushed the guy over to get the catch, man.
What the hell, man?
He flopped. I didn't push him. He flopped.
Man, I thought that was kind of hand-fighting.
Yeah,
you probably
exactly.
could have let that one go in your favor. How did it feel out there?
It felt good. You know, like I said, I'm just thankful to be back out there with the guys and competing and trying to help a team win. So, like I said, I'm just frustrated with the L, but, you know, it just felt good to come out the game healthy.
Yeah, you guys gave that game away.
Yeah, definitely. That's the first thing I said after we got the field was we gave the game away. So Winnipeg is one of those teams that doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and if you make them, they're going to capitalize and they're going to win the game, and that's what we did. We gave them the game.
But Shaq, how do we stop that? How do we stop giving the game away? Like, we talk about foolish penalties, and you were a guy earlier this year, before you got hurt, said, and that was way back when you were actually doing interviews. So think about that. That was going into week three. You said, and that was the problem back then, you said, your words, not mine, we're grown-ass men. We got to figure this out. And you still haven't figured it out.
Yeah, man. At this point, I don't know what we can do because, like I said before, I'm going to say it again, we're grown men. We know what's right from wrong. We know what to do, when not to do it. And it seems like no matter what, at the wrong time, we find a way to get a bonehead penalty at the worst possible time. And it's frustrating, you know, because I feel like if we didn't do that, you know, this season, we'll be at least 9-3. Like, and it's just frustrating to be 6-6. I know we're a better team than 6-6. But when you commit penalties like that, you're gonna lose games against good teams.
It seemed like you guys got the looks that you wanted when it came to your, especially the one-on-one situation you got put in. Did you feel like you guys were on schedule?
Yeah, I felt like we didn't play bad today. It was just the penalties. I feel like we executed the game plan well. Like, we were hitting our marks. We were running the ball well, passing the ball well. It's just the penalties. It seemed like every time we were about to take that next step and get over the hump and really put our foot on their necks, we got a penalty. So, just frustrating.
Your quarterback looked pretty good today. Last 2 weeks, he's looked good. You know, a lot of criticism of him when he got pulled, passing for 41 yards. Luke and I talked to him on the bus after the last game, and he said, it's amazing what we can do when we think we got nothing to lose, and he played kind of like that again. I submit, Shaq, that his wife and his dog should live here full time.
Yeah, let's keep him here because since they've been here, he's been balling out and he's back to being who he is. And I felt like the knee injury really hampered him. And you see, once he got healthy, he's been playing well. I feel like he played great today. But like I said, it was just the penalties that did us in. I feel like everybody did their part, hit their marks. But like I said, we got to get rid of the penalties.
So, okay, let me ask you one last thing. Now, Luke's played. Maybe he'll shoot this down. But can you have a players-only meeting and say, because...
Oh, no.
Listen,
I mean, you have those.
Yeah.
It's far too late to see that.
Yeah,
is it far too late? Do we need to come to Jesus meeting with you guys? Like, well, how do you fix this?
No, we've had multiple meetings as a team where we've discussed this. So at the end of the day, it's just about checking yourself as a man. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to fix it yourself? I mean, people know who they are that committed the penalties. So just... can you fix it? Like, it's not up to us anymore. It's not up to the team to help you. We're not kids. Like, you know what to do. Now do it. It's not hard. It's not.
Last question before you go, man. You've played in the follow-up game plenty of times here. You know what you're about to get into
when
you get to Winnipeg. give me a couple keys to coming out on top there, not discipline-wise. We already know that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we just got to keep running the ball, you know, keep getting ourselves matching up with them one-on-one, because I feel like we did a good job when we did. And, you know, just keep converting on second down. Like I said out there, I feel like we did everything well today. It's just the penalties. You know, every time we got a big play or something, we got set back. So we just got to stay the course. I feel we play well on offense. We play well on defense. It's just, you know, we just got to bring that to Winnipeg. And it's easier said than done. We haven't won there since 2018. So it's going to be a dogfight. So we got to come in there with that mentality that, you know, just be prepared for a dogfight, because it's going to be there. They're at home, and they're great at home. They've only lost there, I think, once in the last 2 years. So, yeah, we got to work hard out for us.
Shaq is back, and we're happy about that, our offensive game star. Thanks, Shaq.
Thank you.
That's Shaq Evans. And we also were joined by Roland Milligan, our defensive game star. Daniela Ponticelli will call for that during the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. And when she does, you can win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. Before I let you go, some closing thoughts on this one.
Well, hey, look, we've talked about the bad. Unfortunately, it's been like the bad keeps popping up every time the Saskatchewan Rough Riders lose. It's consistently the same issues. But one of the things that they've got to do is they've got to find the positive things that they can take from this game. So, for instance, blitz pickup was really well done today. The defense stood on its head. And again, just like I said when we were up in the booth, it felt like the team that commits the first turnover is going to lose this one, and that's how it ended up. So I know it sucks when you only lose the turnover battle 1-0. But you just can't against that team. You just can't do it.
I walked into Cornhusker Stadium yesterday. The boys asked me what's going to happen. My son played there. I said they're going to lose 38-17. It's going to be a tight game till the end, but then they'll run out of gas. That's exactly what happened. Exact score. You said to me today, what's going to happen? I said, you know what, Luke? I feel 28-20. It's going to be over 45. I guess I was wrong, and you were right.
Hey, you know what? You know, we can be wrong. We can be right, as long as the Rider Nation likes it.
That's right. Hey, man. Thanks for your time.
Good job, man.
Have a good rest of the weekend. I know you've been busy with the Red Cross with regards to that terrible situation in Melfort with the deaths and the stabbings and everything like that. So we'll have you updated with the latest on that situation in our newsroom tomorrow. When we come back, we'll wrap the show up. 20-18, the Rough Riders lose to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the 57th Labor Day Classic. This portion of the postgame show brought to you by Cooperator. See Chris Olson at Olson Insurance Group in Saskatoon, spreads.ca, Young's Equipment. You're listening to the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the fifth quarter post-game show. We're going to wrap things up here. This fifth quarter brought to you by SAS Lotteries, Redhead Equipment, Saskatchewan Foster Families Association. I'm going to let Daniela Ponticelli, Don Hewitt, and Wes Cates take over, as I'm almost out of gas here. So they'll get to the stats and all the breakdown and take your calls. 936-6262 in town, toll free out of town, 1-866-767-0620, as the Riders lose 20-18 to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Before I go, though, I want to thank a few people. Harley and Ryan and Curtis, our engineer department, did a great job. Ryan McNally upstairs, our audio engineer, in our booth. And Stephanie. What's Stephanie's last name? What's Stephanie's last name, Ryan?
Stephanie K.
Who operated in the visiting radio booth. Also want to thank our stats man, John Huffman. Pete Pascu hosts our halftime show along with Rob Vanstone, my color commentator, Luke Mullinder, and Daniela Ponticelli, who's our sideline host and also our pre- and post-game show host, and of course Don Hewitt and Wes Cates, and our great producers back at Harvard Studio, Sean Kleisinger, now Colson Schultz, and all our producers across the Rough Rider Radio Network at the various affiliates like GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, Beach Radio 750 Melfort, 1050 CJNB North Battleford, 102.3 FM CJNS Meadow Lake, 900 CKBI Prince Albert. Your flagship station for Rough Rider football is 620 CKRM. It's also the home of the Sports Cage, and we will have a holiday edition tomorrow to break this thing down for you. So if you didn't get in here, or you want to talk some more football tomorrow, you could do so by calling me tomorrow 4 to 6:30, our holiday edition, Labor Day Monday edition of the Sports Cage. Two games tomorrow, Toronto and Hamilton, Calgary and Edmonton. Once again, our final score from a sold-out Mosaic Stadium before over 33,300 and change. Your Saskatchewan Rough Riders are on a four-game skid on home turf. They lose to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers 20-18. From Harvard Studio 620, I'm Michael Ball saying so long, but stay tuned. We've got the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable coming up next.